Hello and welcome to the Green Tea Party,
where we discuss conservative solutions to environmental problems. I'm Hannah Rogers.
My name is Zach Torby.
And I'm Katie Zakreski. Together, we'll guide you through complex issues and provide strategies to address them,
all while remaining faithful to our conservative values.
Trust me, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's a party. So grab your mugs and we'll pour the tea. Okay, gang, you know the drill. Summer is upon us. As you all probably know, summer lasts for more than 1 week. So I assume you're all still driving around and getting ready to prepare for vacation and spending many, many hours together in the car. What a better way to do that than by asking each other, would you rather, questions about the environment? I mean, there's really no better way than to spend several hours on the road with friends, family, loved ones, and unloved ones. What do you guys think?
I actually have a vacation coming up to San Diego that I'm really excited about. I have a kind of taboo question, but my friends want to go to this nude beach and I'm nervous. Never been nude on the beach before. Sounds like we're going to get it sanded places. Sand doesn't want to be. But they're like adamant that we go to this nude beach. They're like, Hannah, come on. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I might just go to a cafe and read. They do. There's only one and it's in San Diego.
As long as you know, there's not going to be crazy people there. Because I went to, now I didn't know that this was the rule because they were really chill about it. This is going to sound so elitist, get ready for this, gang. When I studied abroad in Spain in college, I was in I'm never going to get to do that accent ever again. It was like a city on the coast by France with 3 to 5 beaches. I can't remember how many, but every one of them was a nude beach. And we didn't know that because every beach is like a nude beach there. Like, it's just like, no, this is what we do. Nobody cares. And we were the only ones being weird about it because we weren't expecting it. Now, there were some people there, not to body shame, but the people who were the proudest about it being a nude beach should have had all their clothes on. It'll probably be the same way in San Diego because San Diego's crazy from what I hear. So I think as long as you don't draw attention to yourself and have somewhere to keep your bag without it getting snatched off your bare body, that's really all the bring a gun. I don't know. This is a conservative radio show. As long as you've got somewhere to conceal your carry, that's what matters.
I don't know where I'm going to carry my conceal.
Yeah, where do you conceal your carry on a nude beach?
That is a great question. Like, you just have like a G-string with a holster.
That sounds like a holster on the side of the bikini. That's even better. Or it's like in a 10-gallon cowboy hat.
You know what? I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna take a picture of it and make it for Green Tea Party Radio. Actually, absolutely. No, I don't, because that would be me being naked on Green Tea Party Radio, and I don't want that. Actually,
hey man, the economy's bad. We got to do what we can to get merch up. Okay, so and I'm ugly, so it can't be me. So it's up to y'all. No, yeah. Just kidding.
I mean, I'm nervous about it. So Zach, you're gonna be the one that has to do this.
Zach, congratulations! You are the new pinup boy for Green Tea Party Radio. 12-month calendar coming soon, everybody. It's just going to be like photos of like tasteful photos of Zach like preparing for his exam. Like nothing at all is like sexual about it. It's just going to be
like, he's studying my computer.
No refunds.
Playing with my cats.
All sales are final. So would you rather post for his tasteful nudes 12-month calendar or take your engineering exam? Zach, which one do you feel like? All right, all jokes aside, let's get into it. Okay, so I think what we'll do is similar to last time, where each one of us will pick a question that we ask the other two, get their take on it, and then you'll chime in afterwards. Or in my case, when you are afraid that the thought will escape you because you have the IQ of a goldfish, you blurt out how you feel and then ask for everybody else to chime in, even if that intimidates them. So on that note, let's all take a minute to pick which questions we want to ask first. Let me see. Looking it over.
I'm going to be asking this question. I've highlighted my question already. Okay. Can I start?
Yeah, do it.
Heck yes. Okay, so would you rather invest in eco-friendly electric vehicles for personal use or advocate for improved public transportation systems?
Ooh.
I already know my answer.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the public transportation systems just because coming from New York City, like there's nothing better than just being able to walk downstairs and get anywhere to the city, to anything you need, and not have to set foot in a car. And it's just so much more convenient. And you save so much money because you don't need to pay for insurance. Don't need to pay for a car. No, don't need to pay for gas. You're paying for $2.75 for a MTA card for riding on the train.
Oh my gosh. Yes. What about you, Katie? What do you think?
I'm going to answer this way. Maybe not for the reasons that you might expect. I'm also going to go improved public transportation. Not just because I live in a rural place, but because I had the Metro for my city come and give a presentation when I was in college, before I was when I was just a baby environmentalist, and they showed us a chart that will haunt me for the rest of my life, that was like what the street looks like now, and it was like one bus and like 10 cars, and it was like what the street could look like, and it was like two buses, and it was like it would reduce the carbon footprint of this city by X amount if just X percentage more of people took public transportation instead of having their own car. And I feel like with public transportation, we're also seeing right now a lot of cities experimenting with putting solar panels on the bus for Wi-Fi charging, finding ways to be like eco-friendly, like within the bus itself, by having like hybrid models and even electric buses for their public transportation system. So I feel like you could just like kill multiple birds with one stone, or for our vegan listeners, mash multiple potatoes with one fork.
Feed two birds with one scone.
Oh, you know what? I like that. Feed two birds with one scone. That's my new one. I'm stealing that.
Me and my puns.
Absolutely. if you can feed multiple birds with one big old bird seed scone, if you invest in improved public transportation systems, that's my take on that.
And this is also I have to tell the listeners, do not feed birds scones.
I was just about to say, it's not nutritionally good for them.
And actually, if you feed ducks bread, it kills them. So do not.
I heard that. Yeah, like, aren't you supposed to feed them like frozen peas?
Yeah, frozen peas, grapes, because what happens is the bread will like expand in their stomach, and it kind of forms like
absorbs space.
Yeah, and it doesn't pass through the rest of their gastrointestinal tract. Ooh, so they're like, they're stuck with just bread almost being like cement. And it doesn't have a lot of nutrition in it. They like the taste of it. It's kind of like if you're just like feeding someone a Twinkie constantly.
Okay. Oh, so like my childhood? Okay.
But same. Whatever happened to Hostess Twinkies?
I was just about to say, Hostess, if y'all want to sponsor Green Tea Party Radio, I shit you not, I will plug that at the man. We will do it every minute. I will plug Hostess. I'm not kidding. Hostess, come talk to me. I'm ready.
The entryway song we should just completely delete. It's just gonna be the sound of like plastic wrappers.
Absolutely, dude. It's just gonna be like the 1940s Twinkie ad. No, I'm not little Debbie. I'm Big Deborah. Contact Hostess. I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
Hostess, I want to see an email in my inbox. Okay, so, but it also
is greenteapartyradio.com.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been bought by Hostess. That's the only organization NASA, just because that sounded cool. But in all seriousness,
NASA does sound cool.
Next time you go to the park, make sure you're careful with what you feed ducks.
Yes, that's an aside. But for me, I also agree with you guys. So I feel like the United States is the only country that doesn't have really good walkability. Like, I always think about the places that I have vacation or my parents' vacation. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could like walk to the coffee shop. I could walk to the grocery store. I could walk to the public park. I could walk to the museum. They're like, wow, it's so nice to just be able to walk everywhere, to propel ourselves forward with the legs that God gave us, you know? It's like, but what happened is, especially in the West, that part of the country developed after the invention of the automobile. So the automobile lobby was like, we build more highways, build more of this. And so the U.S. like spent a bunch of money developing infrastructure that really just made automobile producers really wealthy. And it didn't do very much good things for people. And think about how many like people you meet on public transportation. I just love like jabbering away to the person next to me. They're probably like, God, will this person shut up? And this is what I did today. This is my life.
Well, then you get to watch drunk people for free. It's fun.
Yes. I mean, it just faces accidents and drunk driving, because drunk people are taking buses instead of, you know, getting their keys.
I mean,
don't forget the shout-out zoning laws.
The culture on bus is just different, man. It is just, man, I was in I was in a bus all the time in Spain, and it was just like way different there. Like you got to talk to so many different people. I'll never forget, and I'm sure a lot of you American listeners will be able to sympathize with this as well, because like nobody knows where Arkansas is. I was on a bus in Spain, and this little kid, like, I guess he just immediately knew I was like way sticking out, man. Probably because I was like 350 pounds. That'll do it. Nobody gets to walk everywhere and be 350 pounds, so I had to be American. But he like pointed at me and he was like, "You're from America?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Where in America?" And I was like, "Arkansas." And he was like, "I have no idea where that is." And I was like, "Next to Texas." Mm-hmm. And so they just called me Texas for the rest of the bus ride. I've been to Texas maybe twice. But you just bump into all sorts of cool people when you're on the bus. And I mean, and that's not just in Spain. That's here too. A couple of times I've taken the bus here, like people are willing to tell you their life story on the bus. Sometimes I'm the person on the bus who won't shut up. And then I'm the person on the bus who's like, "Everybody, please shut up." So the culture on a bus, man, is 100% worth just checking out sometime.
Yeah, I totally feel like it's just like you have the most amazing loose interactions, loose mm-hmm. ties with people. I don't want to say loose like that.
It feels like a liminal space. Like everybody like stops at the door and they're like, "I'm entering a bus now." And it's like you're entering a contract with everybody on the bus to like
also, behave a certain way. I despise Elon Musk. I despise him so much. Like, he thinks that he's doing so much for the planet. Meanwhile, he's puttering around in his private jet. He's like, I invented the electric car. He actually didn't. He doesn't have an engineering background. He actually stole it from someone. He, like, actually didn't steal it. He bought it. But then he credited it to himself. So anything I can do to, like, convince people to not just, like, make Elon Musk
people who make egregiously more wealthy. Technological breakthroughs, stealing ideas. That's never happened before, Hannah.
Never happened.
Not with DNA or Apple or Facebook or, you know, like Bill Gates and everything like that. No, it's all original.
They all did it themselves.
It just came to them in a dream, you could say.
Yeah. God, Jesus came down and told them, which is literally like, Elon Musk thinks he's God's gift to humanity because he's like, "I'm solving climate change." No, you're exploiting very, very vulnerable people in your lithium ion battery production with the lithium.
They're starting lithium mining for that here. And I'm just kind of like,
And he's like, "I'm doing so much." It's like, no, you're not. You're literally just co-opting this global problem, you know, making yourself feed your savior complex. And yeah. Anyways, that's my rant. That's some spicy thoughts about Elon Musk.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
Okay, I'm going to hit y'all with a gross one. I'm going to make y'all think it through. Would you rather use cloth diapers or buy only sustainably sourced disposable diapers for your child? I know neither of you have children yet. None of us have children yet. Well, we won't go into details on that. But for hypothetically speaking, everyone, would you rather use cloth diapers or buy only sustainably sourced disposable diapers?
I don't think I could do the cloth diapers. It's children, like a test. Babies are gross.
It's tough. Separating the wheat from the chaff, I think. if you can deal with the cloth diaper, man, you're on another level.
You know
you
what?
Are an A+ environmentalist.
I hate to tell you guys this, but I would do the cloth diapers.
You know, I'm not surprised by that answer, Hannah. Without prying too much, does anybody here know anybody who, like, uses reusable pads and, like, makes their own tampons? Yeah. I know a couple people who do that.
Yeah, so I do that. I use reusable menstruation pads, and I use the Diva Cup, and I also have cloth pads that I use. And, yeah, I mean, it is kind of, at first I was like, "Oh, this is kind of gross." But and I've also used cloth diapers before. A lot of the babies that I've babysat mm-hmm. are cloth diapers mm-hmm. in my family, just because an environmental evangelist, I'm just like all over the place with environmentalism. So I've kind of got my family on board with the reusable things. But it's actually like surprisingly not that gross to just throw the poop away and then throw it in the wash. Like I thought it was going to be gross, but it's also because baby poops are generally not gross until they're about like 18 months old.
That is true, because that's when the diet starts getting a bit diverse.
Because baby poops are usually just really like, there's just like mostly milk and like soft.
Okay, yeah, nothing problematic. The
2-year-old poops, like, I had to say it, but this is so TMI, but I'm really
welcome
sensitive
to Green Tea to Party smell. Radio. We're going to talk about toddler
poop. We started off with nude beaches, now we're into poop.
Welcome.
This is an interesting episode.
I hope this isn't your first episode, or maybe I do, but...
Yeah, well, you're getting to know us a little bit more personally today, but the cloth diapers, I feel like, aren't that bad, but I'm really sensitive to smell, so I actually hate changing diapers, so I'm not the best person to put on this. Like, when I was working at a daycare one time, I literally would throw up when I tried to change the 2.5-year-old's diapers. I was like, I just can't. You guys, it's time for you to be potty trained. What are your parents
I'm not
doing?
Strong enough. It's your turn now.
Yeah. So I feel like I would probably do cloth diapers until it became unbearable, and then I'd switch to sustainable.
So here is, okay, I've got a bunch of thoughts. Can y'all tell that I might be undiagnosed with ADD? First, you mentioned, what is it, the Diva cups? I got a bone to pick with those folks. Those things were not built for fat people, okay? That the Diva cup was not conceived with the fat body in mind, and I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing the reusable menstrual pads, like you just like throw them in the wash. I've actually been looking at those. Those look pretty awesome. But back to the question of cloth diapers or sustainably disposable diapers, my moral dilemma is that there is only like one diaper brand that's pro-life. Every other diaper
really
gives money to Planned Parenthood. I'm not kidding. Like, oh, I looked this up at one point and I was like, this is like the most mind-boggling thing. That you support a business that kills your customers. So for me, I would have to say, like, if my choice is between the brand that's pro-life that might not be sustainably sourced in cloth diapers, as much as I would hate to, I would have to go cloth diaper. Even though in my heart of hearts, I don't think I could do it. I would probably just end up buying the non-sustainable pro-life brand. So that's like the ultimate cop-out. Y'all can take me out back and give me the firing squad treatment if you'd like. But that is my like side dilemma on that one, the fact that it's like there aren't even any other pro-life diaper brands other than this one, and I don't know where they stand on sustainability. I need to look into that. So yeah, that I don't know that I can. I think I'm gonna have to just I don't know that I can do a would you rather on that one. I've gotta, yikes.
You know what that is? It's something that I did not even think about. That's crazy.
And that just occurred to me.
Shifted.
Yeah, like, you know what, they're going to get some free publicity from me. Let me look up this brand, pro-life diaper brand. If you're going to go above and beyond, you're going to get a free shout out from me. It's called Every Life. Every Life Diapers is the pro-life diaper company. And they've got like, their slogan is make more babies.
They know their customers.
Yeah, they know their customers, man. What can I say? They get it. But they
sure
do a bunch of shit. Yes, they do like a bunch of charity work. They do like buy for a cause. Yeah, like it says, like, even if you don't have a baby but you like our cause, you can go buy a crate and we'll give it to somebody in need. So yeah, definitely go check out that brand. I don't know where they're at on sustainability. I think I'm gonna investigate that a little bit, but yeah, so that's where I'm at on that. I guess I'm the gray area on that would you rather.
It's a great place to be, the gray area. Also, I just barely learned that I had no idea that there were diaper companies that were pro-choice.
Is that not crazy? Is that not crazy? That is just so nuts to me to say that out loud.
Interesting. Right. Okay, well, Zach, you go.
Would you rather support sustainable hunting practices for population control or advocate for the complete protection of endangered species?
That, don't even ask me about that one. You already know the answer.
Yeah, Hannah said spare every animal. And
yeah.
And for the most part, I do agree. But I know a lot of people here in the rural South who... And let me just... What number are you on before I go back into this so I can double check the word? 23. Oh, well, duh. The one that's highlighted? Okay, I'm stupid. So here in the rural South, a lot of people rely on hunting as a food source. And so our game and fish, I believe, don't quote me on this, but there have been years in the past that I believe the deer population got out of control and they let hunters take care of it. Here in Arkansas, we have a feral hog problem, which is kind of funny because our state mascot for everything is the Razorbacks. We have a feral hog problem and they don't, like, they just tell hunters, If you see a hog, shoot it, take it home, eat it. Like, that's the rule. Like it's just...
Make some bacon.
If you see a hog, shoot it, eat it. And so, like, that, I know a lot of people who have been, like, who go hog hunting when the deer population is in control to make up for the food that they wouldn't have because of deer population, like, management. Which, and they're not upset about it. They're like, okay, I'm just going to go hunt something else. So I think if done right, that can be super helpful for a rural population in particular. Something has pissed my dog off. She never barks like that. She missed the feral hog. So let me see what that was. Are we good in here? What? What are you barking at? There's nothing going on. You're being a goober. You're goober. Just be good. You're fine. It's not that serious. Okay, I'm back. I don't know what it was, but I don't think it was that serious. I think it was just the lady giving me my Uber. That's exactly what it was. My food. Okay.
Okay. So sorry, you guys already know, I'm going to sound like I'm on my high horse. But for me, what you said, Katie, about it being a source of food for people, like, oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that totally makes sense. But for me, what I would say is I think we should protect endangered species. But definitely offer people alternative food sources, because if they're having to go hunt for their food, that's really time consuming, and not everyone can do that, which probably shows that, like, maybe in some of the communities around you, there is a lack of food security.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Arkansas is bottom of the barrel on food security. I'm not kidding. A lot of these populations are in rural places. They might not have adequate transportation. There's no public transportation. There are no community gardens. There's no central meeting place for a lot of folks. I mean, in a lot of these places are food deserts. So for a lot of folks, I mean, you're hunting what you're eating.
Yeah. And like, those people should not feel bad about hunting for what they're eating.
Right. Like the onus shouldn't be on them. Like there should be no shame towards that lifestyle if that is what you have to do to live.
Yeah. Like there's no shame in that. Like, they absolutely have to do this to eat. It's kind of like the desert island thing. Like, if I was on a desert island and I had a pig with me, would I eat the pig? I don't know. Maybe I'd want to have the company of the pig.
Also, would the pig eat you?
Yeah, would the pig eat me? Would I eat the pig if the pig died? I don't know. And I get that all the time as a vegan, but I don't judge people who are experiencing food insecurity and they literally have no other option, you know? So I would promote, like, endangered species conservation, especially because most of the endangered species that are being conserved are, like, pandas, which, God, the pandas literally do nothing for the environment. Do the pandas die? You know, let the panda go extinct. Like,
the pandas are doing nothing for the environment. You heard it here first, listeners.
I mean, I guess they might be, but I just feel like
they're cute.
I think you're right. I don't know.
They're propaganda.
Something else couldn't.
Yeah. And most of the charismatic flora and fauna, like the polar bear, all these things. Like, the polar bear is an apex predator, so it absolutely is critical to the Arctic environment. Or, like, I don't know, the giraffe. Like, some of those large megafauna, well, they're pretty close to megafauna, are kind of useless, if that makes sense, environmentally.
Okay, so, I lied.
But, like, for example,
I was just going to say, I lied. Pandas are apparently playing an important role in forest ecosystem where they live. Sorry to throw shade on you like that, pandas. But also, I feel like they're more important animals that we need to be.
the Arctic wolf spider is, like, a really critical species, but it's because it's a spider. It doesn't get any conservation.
I'm looking it up right now. Arctic wolf spider. Arctic wolves. Horrific. Why are we keeping this around? Make a case.
For the environment.
But it's like,
for Australia.
Humans just kind of, like, arbitrarily choose which ones we want to, like, save and which ones we don't. And oftentimes it's based on how cute they are. And that doesn't really do very much for the ecosystem. So I feel like having more conservation towards a broader variety of animals. I mean, yeah, pandas, I'm sure that they are somewhat of an ecosystem engineer and do play a role in the ecosystem, but they're just, I mean, it doesn't even seem like they want to be around. They're having issues with pandas reproducing. So they're literally having to, like, create panda porn and make the pandas watch it. And it doesn't help because they're not even, like, they don't even seem like they want to stick around, you know? They're not reproducing.
Or is this another thing that I dreamt where somebody slam dunked on pandas recently that was like, they're one of the stupidest mammals. They literally forget their child in a split second for food. Like, they're just a horrible animal all around.
Pandas, like, koalas. Pandas, koalas, sunfish. Three stupidest animals on the planet.
There you go. You've heard it here first, folks.
So, I have a bit of a different take on this. I would definitely protect the endangered species. I would cut that part of the question, because endangered species are important and we want to keep every species around. But I've come around to trophy hunting that they do in, like, Africa, because it's so important to the funding of the nature preserve to have people come in and hunt these big animals and pay them. I think it should be very, 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 very expensive, and it should really help fund the nature preserve so they can protect more animals, buy more acres, buy more land, and just continue improving what they do. And a lot of times what they're doing is they're identifying problematic animals, such as like elephant bulls, that are just like decided that they're just going to start killing things. Like the elephant bulls that just decided, they're like, all right, I'm just going to kill all the rhinos that I find. And they're like, oh, that's a problem. We can't have you causing, like, putting another animal to make another animal endangered. So they'll like take people to go kill this specific animal that's causing problems within the preserve. And I think the funding for these preserves is really critical, because if these people aren't funded, a lot of these people will just become poachers. It's like, you can either pay the poachers to protect the animals, or poachers will come and kill the animals for food, or kill the animals for selling to Chinese penis pill merchants.
Right. Right.
Oh my gosh, there's a penis pill trade that kills rhinos?
It's like the rhino horn is, I think, rhino horn's an aphrodisiac. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's like believed, like, in folklore, to be like a male aphrodisiac, like fertility booster,
which is definitely BS.
Yeah, it's definitely snake oil. Like, don't let there be any doubt. It's snake oil.
But same thing with like shark soup,
right? And so, like, they're the scummy folks who are like illegally obtaining these things so that they can sell them to usually old people who don't know any better.
Yeah, I found out they've actually started like dyeing the rhino horn weird colors to make people not want it.
Yeah, I heard about that. Like, they're marking them purple or something to, like, people from wanting to buy it or wanting to poach them.
Yeah, because then it, like, contaminates the whatever they're going to make with it.
Yeah. How wild.
I was thinking about, well, I have to counter you again, Zach. Okay. So, wildlife, like, hunting, like, trophy hunting, actually doesn't generate as much revenue as, like, safaris do, and like observing the animals does. That makes sense. So instead of like killing the animal, you know, which we don't really know what the ecosystem repercussions are, because that's definitely a developing field of science, because most people, when they're trophy hunting, they're not going after the same types of animals that predators are usually going after. Predators are going after the old, the sick, the deformed young, you know, while humans are like, wow, you know, that lion is really strong and buff. I would love to have a rug out of it. You know, they're killing like the most genetically strong individuals in a population. And that actually artificially selects that population to have weaker genes. And so it's a really bad thing to be hunting ecologically for those populations. And it also doesn't really do as much as just observing the animals does in terms of the financing of the conservation. There was like a YouTube thing that Vice did about trophy hunting.
I remember that.
Yeah, they did that, and they talked about trophy hunting as if it was a good thing, and then like it was completely debunked later on.
I think it needs to be very controlled and very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like they need to be like, these are old animals, they're gonna die anyways, and we're gonna fund like a year's worth of everyone's salary for the park by killing like a couple animals.
But yes, absolutely.
It definitely needs to be like controlled by the people on the ground there who are in the know and basically know every animal in the parks that they're dealing with.
Yeah. So here's another question for you guys. Okay. I had it highlighted. Okay. Would you rather put a ban on plastic water bottles or a ban on plastic bags?
Okay. For clarification's sake, I said it as if I didn't have ChatGPT generate the freaking question for me. When we say plastic water bottles, are we talking like single use Ozarka, you drink it, crumple it, throw it away, or are we talking like you have a reusable water bottle that's plastic?
We're talking about like the one that you're talking about first, the disposable ones, the ones where you drink some water out single of it, use. And then it's like...
Right, okay. I am going to say, and this is going to sound horrible that I even have to think like this, I would rather keep the plastic water bottles because those are easier to deliver in natural disasters and in times of crisis to mm-hmm. people who might not have clean drinking water at that time. I could never make an argument for I'm going to die if I don't get this plastic bag. Like that, and that is the only reason that I'm thinking the way that I do on that one. I feel like everybody at any given time right now that's listening to this has 5+ tote bags somewhere in their house that they could use as a plastic bag substitute. Whereas like if you're either like impacted by a natural disaster or God forbid, like the Flint, Michigan scenario, you're going to want as many plastic water bottles as you can buy in bulk at your local Sam's Club or your Costco or your Walmart.
You know what? That's a unique perspective that I wasn't expecting, but I really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Again, horrible that I have to think that way. for the next tornado, let's make sure you can get dirty water. But
that's because
bottles.
Of climate change.
Yeah, exactly. So which goes right back to it.
Yeah. Well, actually, the research on tornadic storms and climate change, like the link between them, is just developing. So we don't really know how climate change affects them, but. Yeah, we could say talk.
And all I've heard, and not to go too far down the rabbit hole on that, but as somebody who's like a certified storm spotter and chaser here in Arkansas, where
you're a storm chaser?
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I've never. I didn't occur to me that Twister. I've never told y'all that. Yeah, when I was right after COVID or right during COVID, it was 2020. You couldn't do anything, couldn't go anywhere, and I knew somebody who is a meteorologist and who works for the National Weather Service. And so I asked him, like, this just kind of went down the YouTube algorithm of storm chasing. Because, you couldn't leave your house. Like, it was cool to watch people getting out of their house. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. You can do it for free. You've just got to do this stuff online. And they'll, like, go through other scenarios with you. And so, like, where I'm located, sometimes I'll, like, call in weather reports and, like, spot for folks. But they've seen that the linkage tends to be... From what I've read so far, and you mentioned it, it's only just developing, Hannah. But from what they've seen, the temperature can impact the wind speed, and then here in the South, especially in Arkansas, your higher temperatures can impact your humidity, and both of those can impact the strength of the storm and the likelihood that it would produce a tornado. So while they're still fleshing out the fine details, yeah, you could probably say tornadoes, just like every other natural disaster at this point, have a climate change either tie-in or amplifier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's your Katie fun fact of the day, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess you are the one who here has actually been affected by tornadoes.
Yeah.
You're in Tornado Alley.
Yeah, like good timing on that, because literally this past week, I went to a little town called Wynn, Arkansas. It's 2 hours to the northeast of Little Rock, and they are still trying to recover from the March 31st, 2023 tornadoes. An EF3 tornado hit the town, and there are still like a ton of people, and this is so common in rural communities. There's a lack of housing, and it costs like $12,000 to buy a FEMA trailer. So people can't afford to buy the FEMA trailer. There's no housing available in the town. And so people who have lived there for 4 to 5 generations are having to figure out, do I move in with a relative or do I completely relocate to a new town and just start over there? So yeah, it's tornado season here. And so a lot of folks are thinking about that. So I'll keep y'all updated with that fun little adventure as we go along this tornado season. So stay tuned for details.
That's crazy. I really had no idea that water bottles, well, going back to your thing earlier, that water bottles would be really critical to that, because I was going to say, oh, I hate the representation of plastic water bottles because it's like packaging up something that should be essentially free water. And so
I agree with you. If it's not an emergency, why are we still like price gouging?
Why are we selling water?
Over water. Like I can go outside, pick some up, boil it and drink it for free in theory after filtering it. So I've never understood that, but
I would say the question is, what is the alternative to selling water? Are people just offering water in like metal containers? And I guess then you have to constantly recycle it. it is tough with water because it is, everyone needs water all the time. And it's like, if they're not selling water anywhere, well, what do you do? And plastic bags, I haven't used a plastic bag in like years, like 5+ years.
Yeah. I have a slightly interesting angle. I agree with you, Katie. I feel like what you said was very well spoken and very well put together, especially in response to the totally changed what I was about to say. And I also think about like homeless people and how homeless people don't really have access to clean water. Like every time they try to go into a restaurant, they get kicked out. They can't drink out of local streams or anything like that. But my biggest thing is this is also sad because I think about people have been experiencing natural disasters long before plastic water bottles became into existence, which tells us that we've probably forgotten how to collect and filter and drink water locally. But then there's also like the realization that hits us that like our ancestors faced tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters and poverty, but they all somehow knew how to find, filter, and drink water that was around them, that was naturally around them. So that tells us that like we've become very reliant and very dependent on these systems of plastic water bottle and filtered water coming out of your sink, that like we've completely forgotten how to be self-sufficient without those things. And maybe if we educate people a little bit more on how to collect and use their own water, which would be quite the undertaking, because even though it was only been a couple of years since then, we've all entirely forgotten. So I think that we could probably get rid of both plastic and paper and plastic bags and plastic water bottles, but it would take a lot of education and some sort of like suitable replacements.
Well, I think that wells were so commonplace back in the old days that you either had a ton of bodies of water around you or you had a well like somewhere on your property. Whereas I wonder, like today, if we started to advocate for more self-sufficient water usage, what would that mean for like rainwater collection, well digging on properties? To what extent would you have to get water from the well? Like what percentage of water that you use would have to come from a well as compared to like the water grid? I don't know. So like, I wonder like what a process for that would look like to introduce and educate people into more sustainable personal water usage, like going back to what our grandparents or great grandparents did, Hannah. That's a really interesting point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, so random, this question brings up all these aspects of our society that are imperfect, that are flawed, and then what we can do to get better is just a question about plastic bags or plastic water. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So do y'all want to call it there? How are we feeling?
Yep.
Yeah, we should. It's been 41 minutes and you have sushi waiting for you and I'm starving.
Okay, we're going to move into our action steps now. Hopefully we gave you plenty to think about and discuss and debate and agonize over just like we did. For the rest of your trip, have a happy and safe vacation. And if you're not taking vacation right now, go ahead and take one. Treat yourself. Let me be your negative influence. But before you do that, Hannah and Zach are going to tell you about some action steps that you have to take before you book your vacation.
Again, 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 we're going to ask you to write your member of Congress as a constituent concerned about climate change. Go to house.gov or senate.gov to talk to either your representative or your senator. Select your state to find who is representing you. And then give them a call, please. Or write them, any of those things. And just let them, yes, contact them. Call them, please. And let them know that you are a constituent that is very concerned about climate change.
And tweet us at Green Tea Party Radio Show and tell us how you navigate political discussion and what are your thoughts on all these different topics and any questions you have you want us to hear from us. Shoot us a tweet and let us know. We'll try to Danny them answer.
Fabulous.
For you, our listener, email us your thoughts. Our email is info@greenteapartyradio.com. Thank you for listening to Green Tea Party Radio. And a very special thank you to all of our patrons. We could not have done this without you.
If you're interested in getting early access to episodes as well as Green Tea Party Radio merch, check us out at greenteapartyradio.com. If you have feedback, tell us what's on your mind and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And just so you know, this is our passion project. We don't have any organizational sponsor. And another reminder that Green Tea Party Radio is not representative of the Diocese of Little Rock, Catholic Climate Covenant, or any of our employers. We're simply building a movement because we want the world to know that conservatives, and particularly young conservatives, have important things to say about climate change.
And if you want to hear our show on your college radio station, email us at info@greenteapartyradio.com. give us a detail about your campus and your radio station. The email again is info@greenteapartyradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you guys. What a great cover again.
Yeah. Would you rather contact your representative or contact your senator?